It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 448. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And don't forget, we got the wiki where you can find links to all of the past shows and the show notes and the audio. That website is mtswiki.com. I have a few stories and some things that I found that I want to talk about, and one of them is the nice addition to Nynite. A couple things I'm going to mention, and then I'm going to get right to your email. There's lots of great comments and feedback and some great questions, so I will take care of that. A reminder, next week, the live recording will be Tuesday night, so it'll be Tuesday night, March 5th, because I'm going away. I'm not going to be in town on the 7th through the 11th. I figure I will get that in. And while we're talking about that, I don't know, no promise, but I'm going to see if Carrie can do show 100 of Tech Vets Tuesday night after the Mike Tech Show. So we might have a double show on Tuesday night. Keep following me on Twitter and Facebook to stay tuned for that and the times. Definitely the Mike Tech Show will be at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Before we get started, you want your websites to load quicker, and you want to make sure that if your DNS provider goes down, you have a secondary route to your website. That is where Dyn.com, D-Y-N.com, comes in. With outsourced DNS, you can make sure people can get to your website at all times. With managed DNS, you can even connect items like your webcams or DVR to a private channel that you can pull from at any time. Dyn has service tiers for companies of any size to get started, and Dyn serves more than 4 million customers around the world. Stop taking chances with uptime and start talking to Dyn about best-in-class managed DNS. To get faster internet by using Dyn, visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30. So check that out and visit dyn.com/podcast30. The first thing I want to mention, and I used this yesterday, a new system for a client in their home, new Dell Optiplex with Windows 8 Pro. And after I used the Fabs Auto Backup for getting everything off the old system, that worked like a charm, though took a long time because they had 70 gigs worth of pictures and music. That took a couple hours. While that was being transferred, I started to set up the new computer. And one of the things that Nynite has, the classic shell for Windows 8, that free classic shell where you can get your start button back, is included in Nynite. That was so cool. Nice surprise to see that. And I just added that to my checklist and installed everything, and it works like a champ. I just love Nynite. The combination of Fabs Auto Backup for Tech and Nynite and getting a new system up and running, it has just become so, so seamless. It makes it so much easier when you have the right tools. Then it was just putting everything back, and everything's working great. One thing I didn't bring with me last night, yesterday when I was working on this system, I got to remember to pack blank CDs and DVDs because you need to make sure that you have them to make recovery discs for the recovery media, especially on a new system. And you want to do that for your client. So since I didn't have that, what I'm doing is I'm getting my client to, they were getting some DVDs, and I'm going to do that remotely. And what I'll do is just log in and run that for them and ask them just, hey, just pop the blank in. So just a reminder out there for the different little things that you got to remember to keep in your consulting bag. And on my checklist, it's to get some blanks and make sure to put them in. Well, as you know, I mentioned the XPrint server on the past show, which I just love and continue to use to be able to print from my iPad and my iPhone to my network printers. Well, Mike, who is Taz Cools in the chat, says, if you can connect a printer to your router, you can use one of the apps that he has a list here, four links that I'm going to put in the show notes, that you can print from your IO device or Android. I personally use the Brothers iPrint and Scan, so I can say that it works. Letronix looks like a good solution if one of the apps doesn't work or is an older printer. Michael, thank you. And one of these apps, the HP one, I've actually used to print to the HP printer, but you got to go through some extra hoops. These apps, they're great and they work, but they don't work natively, I guess, or naturally within the iOS environment where you have that forward icon, the little curved arrow from any app that you use that supports that, where you can send it somewheres. You can then natively send it if your printers are AirPrint compliant. You can do this right from within the OS, the iOS. And one of the problems that I noticed with the app when I wanted to print something from the web page, you have to go through a couple extra hoops. But these apps are free, some of them. And some of the print apps that I've even tried in the past, they cost some money and they didn't work right. I remember paying $3 or $4 for a couple different apps and they just really sucked. I mean, none of them worked. So I've been playing with this for a while, but check these alternatives out that Mike has sent me. Thank you very, very much. Because remember, for what you need to print is different from maybe what I'm trying to do. And if we can do it for free with one of these apps, one piece of software, that's great. This is from Mark. And I confuse, I'm bad. Mark Cobb, Mark, I apologize that I confused you with the other Mark. He has another tip. In the latest Mike Tech Show, you mentioned the XPrint server, a device that allows you to make virtually any printer AirPrint compatible so that you can print from my devices. For the past year or so, I have been using free software on my desktop PC that accomplishes the same goal. Netgear Genie will share any printer connected to a PC or Mac and make it AirPrint compatible. Though made by Netgear for managing their routers, you don't have to have a Netgear product in order for the software to work. The only requirements are that you have iTunes and Adobe Reader installed, and the computer that Netgear Genie is running on needs to be powered on when you want to print from an iDevice, which isn't a problem for me since I leave my desktop PC on 24/7, which I do. You can see the setup screens in the Netgear Genie manual, and he has the page. This is great. Mark, thank you so much for an alternative to the XPrint server. So we got lots of suggestions here. So this is really, really good. Now, this was a comment on the website from Jim, and I just responded to that today. And Jim said, about the viewpoint scanner, that Magic Wand 3 that I'm just in love with and use it all the time. And he said, your glowing recommendation of the viewpoint scanner encouraged me to take a look at Amazon reviews, which quickly evaporated any desire to try one. However, a search for similar products produced the Pan Digital, which is a very inexpensive hand scanner. It's only got one review. It appears to address many of the view scanner complaints, but I'll still wait for more reviews. Do you want to comment on the comments by reviewers about difficulties with similar pieces of paper, books, and the inability to tell if acceptable scans occur until an upload to a PC? If you take a look at the reviews, I made sure there was a link to the appropriate scanner, because a lot of the reviews are on the Wand 2, the Wand 1. This is the Magic Wand 3. Now, a lot of the complaints were you can't use rechargeable batteries. Oh, well, to me, that's not a problem. To some other people, it might be. Now, the paper, different types of paper, this hand scanner, as you move it, yes, it's not going to be the same as a flatbed scanner where you're putting it on the glass and it's sitting there and it's perfectly straight and not moving. But remember, that big clunky scanner or multifunction printer is not portable. Can't take it with you. This is a hand scanner. So yes, if you shake or if the material is tough, you got to be careful and you got to go easy. And yes, I've had pieces of paper that, slightly crooked, but for the convenience of having it, I would say 9 out of 10 come out perfect. A story. This week, brand new client, and actually a brand new retainer client, that's a doctor's office, and for hearing. And I was in their server room. There was a floor map of all the rooms, the offices, and where everybody sat. And that map was on the wall, and it wasn't easy to bring down. And I was able to just take my hand scanner and just scan it right across, right on the wall. And it was perfect. I can then look, there's a little portable viewer, and yes, if you don't use the higher res, then that little viewer is not going to be great. That was another comment. Remember, mileage is going to vary, but when I took a look at the reviews, and you see 200 reviews, but only a handful have a problem, the majority of them are 5-star. So the majority of the reviews are in my camp. If you want to nitpick on some of these things, yes, because if there are issues that are important to you, remember, I have multiple pieces of paper and licenses that I collect for a client. And I got to quickly get all of that in. And maybe I'll scan it twice. But I'll tell you, some of these notes were from like a notebook. And I'm scanning. Boom, it's a list of passwords. And then I had that wall scan of the map. And then there was some other contract information that they had for their Dell support. And I'm scanning that. And there must have been 15 pages that I've scanned. Their server room, I have my iPhone, I'm going to click, 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 I'm taking a whole bunch of pictures, I'm zooming in on the router and getting model numbers, I'm getting the tag number off the server. I then run SIW on all the computers. Now remember, this is a brand new client. In an hour, I had a recon of their entire office. Between the hand scanner, my pictures from the iPhone, running SIW on all the computers, I've now collected a great deal of information on this client. And then I come home and I immediately, in my documents under clients, I created a folder with the company name. In there is a copy of the retainer contract. I dump all of the hand scanners for all the hand scans that I took. I dump that in and I start renaming them for the appropriate description for each of those. Then I got the pictures and I'm dumping them in. So I have a notes subfolder, a photo subfolder, an SIW report subfolder, and a contracts folder. I have this on all of my clients. So now I gather up all the handwritten stuff, and then I took 2 pages of notes. So I quickly go, zoop, scan that. I make sure that that's added. Now I have everything completely documented for my client. Now, what I'm going to be working on tonight is a summary of that and a findings and a report and a recommendation going forward. One, the minute I found that their backups, guess what? Their backups, the last 3 of them, have failed. My first recommendation is going to be new backup software and a new way of backing up because they have the old tape technology. Not on my watch. It's going to be external drives. It's going to be Shadow Protect for their small business server 2003. They thought their server was still covered. I ran the tag on Dell's website. Guess what? The contract, their support contract and warranty expired over a year ago. So going forward, we're either buying a new server or we're going to pay for that gap and extend the warranty. So I'm already getting a quote from that from my distributor. So I'm going to prepare that. Once I get everything together as I have for tonight, I'm putting a recommendations report together. I'm going to send that to them, then have a follow-up and say, this is where we go from here. I noticed there's a bunch of updates that need to be applied on the server, so I want to schedule that. I want to get my remote access set up on all the computers and the server. This is how I'm approaching everything. And I wanted to tell that story because the viewpoint scanner, that hand scanner, is an important tool to me putting all of the documentation and information for a client. It's got to be portable and it's got to work. And if it didn't work, I wouldn't recommend it. But remember, if you are going to be doing something very different, if you were just doing photographs, I don't know if I would do a hand scanner for that. You can get a nice flatbed that's not going to move because, yeah, your hand could move. If you were just doing photos, I don't know if that would be my recommendation. The important feature for me is its portability, and it's in my consulting bag because when I'm at a client and I see something, I need that information recorded. I'm either taking a picture of it or I'm scanning it because I got to get that digitally into my archive for that client. Jim, I don't know if that helps you or hurts you, but I did want to reply to your comment and thank you so much for leaving the comment and your recommendation for an alternative for the hand scanner. Thank you. This is a follow-up from Arnold about Dell support, and we've absolutely concluded the following. He confirmed, once again, that any server purchased after October 28th, 2008, there is no more free Dell support. You have to now go and pay for support. But if the servers prior to 2008, they still honor phone support. Make sure if you have a Dell server, you have a client that has a Dell server, you take that service tag number, you run it on Dell's website under the support section, and you see if it is covered by a warranty. And if it's not, now you either are going to play with fire and take a chance and not and just go forward, and now you're betting that there's not going to be a problem and that you don't need support. If that server is mission critical to your business or your client's business, then you better get it under warranty. So this way, if you do have a problem, you're not going to be banged for $300 just to talk to a tech. And that doesn't even cover the hardware or any parts coming out. 2 phone calls could pay for having a tech on site with spare parts. So keep that in mind and make sure that you are on top of all the warranty for your hardware. This is from Philip. He says, hi, Mike. Great shows. You mentioned on one of your shows that you went to your customer to help them buy a computer. I have to do the same thing with my new customer. They are 2 ladies in their 70s. And it's the first time that they want to use a computer for email and surfing the web. And this is a desktop Windows PC. The question is, how much do you charge to help them shop for a computer by the hour or flat rate. And what desktop computer systems, two or three, you recommend? Their price ranges $600 to $700. Thanks. Couple recommendations here that I sent back to Phil. I don't charge for recommending a computer. Usually I have it's either a quick recommendation, like what is on sale at Staples, because they have a very limited budget, and I recommend them looking at the Staples ad for the weekend and getting one of the HP Pavilion desktops. I mean, not the greatest computer in the world, and you got to decrapify it, and I know, but if their budget's small, I recommend going with a cheap laptop or a cheap system, knowing that I'm going to be able to convert their data, hook it up for them, get it set up. Second, if they have the money, I want to control the purchase. So I will recommend the Dell Optiplex from my distributor, and I'm going to make money on the hardware, so I don't charge for doing that. But I will charge my hourly rate when I go out to hook up the computer, set it up, convert data, do any training on site. That's my process. That's what works for me. And it's kind of hard for a home user to be able to bill them for recommendations. If someone is going to ask me for a recommendation and it gets very complex, and I'm not going to be able to make any money on that deal, and I'm spending a lot of time where there's lots of questions, then I'm going to probably in the middle of that process say, time out. I want to let you know that as I continue to spend time on this, it's going to be billable, and this is how much it's going to be. And it's interesting because I'm going to a new client this Saturday, and they were a referral from actually the Philadelphia Area Computer Society that someone recommended. And I'm going over this person's house, but I was very uneasy with the phone call where we were talking about, you know, how much and what. I let him know what my rate is right out of the chute. And I'm going over to evaluate how many hours I think it's going to take to solve all the things that he's talking about. And he asked, he says, are you going to charge me for coming out? I said, I'm going to come out and I'm going to spend under an hour, and I'm going to give you my best guess at how many hours I think it's going to take to resolve everything that you're talking about. I've never had to do this for someone's house. Usually this is a business that I'm doing this for. I said, but if I start answering questions for you and I begin one iota of repairing or fixing or doing something, my trip is billable. Are we 100% clear on that? Because if he backed down or there was any problem with that, then this is someone I absolutely do not want as a client. He has no problem with that. Sometimes, and this is the nice thing about being on my own, I can control who I want and who I don't want as a client. What I'm worried about is he's had four different IT people do various things, and it's a mess. So this is the only way that I could get in there and say, I want to see this before I could even pretend to guess at what I think it's going to take. We're talking making sure there's wireless, there's all kinds, I think, of wiring that has happened through the house. Nothing's labeled. Nothing was done right. My guess is there's multiple networks happening. He has no wireless access where he wants it. We got to make sure that first the wiring, and that may even be beyond me. I told him I'm going to check this out, but I may need to bring an electrician out to do a quick run through and start doing some testing just so we can tone out all these wires at each end. I may have my buddy who I know is an electrician. We schedule some time one night, maybe go out there after I see this and start putting together a proposal for what it's going to take to resolve everything that he wants. It is a home, but he is a doctor that works out of his house sometimes, and it seems like there's a few businesses going on here within the house, so it's more of an office than I think that it is a house. It could be a good client. I don't know. It's got the potential. You know, it's kind of, we felt each other out, and I understand he's been screwed over by four other IT people. He's now getting me as a recommendation. So that's why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, because I now have to prove a little bit of what I can do. I think once we meet, I can assess the situation and find out what's happening. And let's hope I can turn this into a great client, a retainer client. That's the ultimate goal. So, Philip, I hope I was helpful in your situation and giving you some ideas in how you can treat these older ladies and their new computer. Good luck with that. This is from Will. Hi, Mike. First, I want to say thanks for putting on the show. I love listening to your podcast while I'm working, often keeping a notepad file open off to the side to jot down quick note or two of stuff to look up when I get home. I came across this great tool while listening to another podcast. Have you ever been to www.virustotal.com? VirusTotal.com. They don't exactly have a downloadable tool, but if I understand correctly, they put out feelers to try to aggregate as many types of infections as possible and release data to antivirus creators. While what really gets interesting, though, it is that after scanning a file or URL, it will provide a list of 30-odd antivirus programs, malware bytes is included, last no combo fix, and gives information on what or not it detects an infection and what it is that it detects. Combo fix is not an antivirus program. Don't think that it is. Don't compare that to Malwarebytes. ComboFix is a tool to use to eradicate and eliminate an infection that is absolutely already on your system. Remember that. It's only useful in specific cases. For instance, Malwarebytes detects something and is unable to deal with it. You can at least have a list of antivirus packages that detect it. Or if a client can confirm that their computer started misbehaving right after opening a particular attachment. But just in case you hadn't stumbled onto it already, I thought it might be something that would be of interest to you. Absolutely, I will take a look at that. Oh, and one more neat tool that I ran into. I apologize if you've already mentioned this on the show, as I've only been listening for a couple of years, and sometimes I miss things because I'm listening at work. But a couple of times, while using ComboFix and XP, it has broken the file associations with any .exe file. No, ComboFix didn't break it. The infection broke it. I would suspect that this is a product, yes, of a virus trying to execute something every time an executable is run, or tweaking the registry for something else. There is a registry tweak I came across on Major Geeks that fixes the .exe file association. I suppose with Microsoft ending support for XP, this probably will not be a problem for you for much longer, but I thought I would tell you just in case. I'm going to have the link to it, and I've also linked great fixing of .exe files and that association in the past. Thank you so much once again for putting out your show. It must be a huge time commitment, and I bet it isn't always easy, but it always brightens my week. Cheers, Will. Will, thank you very much for your comments and your site recommendations. I'm going to put them in the show notes. I keep this registry to fix the .exe association. I keep that on my USB stick when I go to do battle with an infection. Because many times what the infection does is it stops your system from the ability from running executable files because they don't want you to run anything to fix, to remove the infection. So what you have to do is quickly run this fix reg I have, where I merge it into the registry. Once it runs, boom, I run CombiFix right away. And then CombiFix starts eradicating and eliminating the infection. So that's one way to deal with an infection. Have that and the ability to be able to merge that and fix that association. Very, very important when you go in to do battle. And it's why I always look good when I go in and I never fail. I go in and I'm able to quickly, once you can get the CombiFix running, you're in great shape. Then just run Malwarebytes or Super Any Spyware or TDSS Killer. Have them all updated. Have them all on your USB stick. And then remember, after you clean a system, what do you got to do? You have to repair what's broken. So you have to run the tweaking.com all-in-one repair tool. Run it. Let it repair everything. All is good. Couple more emails. This is from Chad, and I've replied back already. I'm in a real jam over losing Exchange and not being able to recover my clients' .ost files. Is there a program out there you trust to convert OST files into PST files? My client is up in arms because they can recover emails from a few months ago, and I need to get this fixed. I Googled it and found a bunch of online programs, just not sure which one to trust. Thanks for all that you do. Chad, I sent Chad a link to the System Tools program that I used their utility to fix Outlook Express. Hey, if that worked great, they have a ton of tools for OST repairing and migrating an OST to a PST and fixing a damaged OST or PST. So I recommended that System Tools site for Chad. Haven't heard back, so hopefully one of those inexpensive utilities helped him out. This is from Terrell, Antivirus Software. My name is Terrell, and I was introduced to your show through Professor Messer. I just have a quick question. Is there an antivirus software that you recommend? And I wrote back and said, I recommend two antivirus programs, Microsoft Security Essentials. And yes, they've taken a bad hit in the press because they don't, there's sites out there as they do their independent testing. Supposedly, it's not doing a good job. I know that. That doesn't bother me. So you have Microsoft Security Essentials. If you don't feel comfortable with Microsoft's program, then I highly recommend Avast, A-V-A-S-T, their free program. That's a great piece of software. So either one of those programs will work fine. Final email. This is from Clark. And he says, quick note before I go to work. After last Saturday's meeting, I went over to OfficeMax to check out their clearance section and bought a Microsoft Bluetooth keyboard 5000 for $12. It was marked $19.99, but at the register, it came up $12. They are horrible at their signing at the store. So I bought a second one. I don't think I would like it because it looks smaller than the usual size keyboard buttons, but it is easy to use and cool. I have been able to connect it to Windows 7, Windows 8, and an Apple TV. The Windows 8 installation steps are a bit awkward. There were two left on the end cap halfway down the left the left aisle, in case you are interested. It is really cool to use with the Apple TV. My sound card wasn't working on Thursday, but I watched you wave your hand and read the chat window for a while. Take care, Clark. Hey, thank you. And he mentions OfficeMax has a 14-day return policy. This is Clark, and he's Clark PC when he's here in the chat, and he always comes out to the PAX meetings. He runs the Princeton user group meetings, and matter of fact, he's been begging me to come out there and talk again, but I've been just so busy. I have not been able to get up to the Princeton users group meeting, but I promise I will try. You purchase from Amazon. You know anybody that purchases from Amazon. Use my link, amazon.mikenation.net, miketechshow.com/Amazon. Either one of those URLs. Save it, bookmark it. Use that to make your purchase. and a small commission comes back to help support the Mike Tech Show. I really appreciate it. Your continued support and using that link makes a difference, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so very much. And also thank you for supporting my other affiliate links and sponsor, especially Dyn, dyn.com. That's what a great service for your managed DNS. Enough said. Fabs Auto Backup for Tech, another great, great software for transferring files from one system to another. It's perfect. It's what you need if you are a tech. That's it. Remember, next week, I will be doing the Mike Tech Show at 8 o'clock Tuesday night, March 5th. I'll be recording that and hopefully posting it up on Wednesday or maybe very, very late Tuesday night. I may edit and get it posted up. So I want to thank everybody for supporting the show, staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. And that's it. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.